Well, good morning, TNC family, on this final Sunday in February, where today, here, I want to ask you to consider, what's your slumber? What's your slumber? Because Paul writes in his New Testament letter to Rome, to a diverse group of folks, men, women, young, old, Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, who are learning to live together in light of Jesus' teachings, life, death, resurrection. And he wants them to consider, what's your slumber? Because he longs for them to live well in a complex world. And if you're reading Romans, by the time you get to chapter 13, he's already written about humility and sacrifice, hunger and thirst, persecution, anger, revenge, taxes, and authorities, culminating in the need for love to rule above them all. Verse 10, love is the standard and fulfillment of it all. And then verse 11, so, it's like everything is crescendoing to verse 11, so the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. The time has come to wake up from your slumber, which is a whole motif in Scripture for what happens when the good news that God has come through Jesus to set the world right, for what happens when that reality fills your soul and you realize that the resurrection of Jesus means resurrection not just in the end in the new world that God will eventually make, but also in the present life as well. Because yes, God intends in the end to give us a new life within his ultimate new creation. But the new creation has already begun with the resurrection of Jesus. And so the scriptures call us to wake up now in the present time to the new reality. And again, you'll see this motif of waking up all over the scriptures. Just type in waking up in a scripture-focused search engine. But today, we are honed in on the question of Romans 11 and verse 13. So, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, which means we ought to think about, consider, look in the mirror and ask ourselves, maybe humbly and literally ask some other folks we trust, what's my slumber? What am I carrying around that's robbing me of alertness, light, energy, and aliveness? What's my wound, my worry, my weight? What's my slumber? For the hour has come for me to wake up. Easier said than done, I know. And so I want to suggest to you now three strategies for waking up, staying awake, and avoiding the slumber. And all these strategies come from a story in Acts chapter 20 about a guy who literally falls into a slumber and then falls asleep. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Listen to this. It is a great story. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people and, because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. And when he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Verse 10, Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him, then said, "Don't be alarmed, he's alive." Then Paul went back upstairs and broke bread and ate. And after talking until daylight, he left. Verse 12, the people took Eutychus home alive and were greatly comforted. But what an ordeal. Eutychus gives in to slumber, tunes out, falls asleep, then falls out a window, which is his only appearance in all of the scriptures. And so for all of history, the legacy of Eutychus is he's the man who tunes out and falls asleep because he gives in to slumber. That's his gravestone, Eutychus. The guy slumbers and sleeps. And Eutychus could have avoided all of this if he had just paid attention to three things. Three things we, TNC, are called to pay attention to in our lives. And I want to mention them now. And the order of these three is not that important. But these are three things from the story that Eutychus could have done differently to avoid the slumber. And here's number one. Eutychus, number one, watch where you sit. Watch where you sit. Because if you're sitting in a beanbag chair on the floor and you fall asleep, you're not going to fall out the window. But if you're sitting in a windowsill and you give in to slumber and fall asleep, I'm just saying, this is why the psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the one who does not sit in the seat of mockers, but who plants themselves by streams of water. Because your environment has as much to do with your success in life as your effort. Chip and Dan Heath, who are sociologists, best-selling authors, they have a great book called Switch, How to Change Things When Change is Hard. And they have a whole section of the book called Motivate the Elephant. And it's all about your environment. They say, imagine you're trying to motivate an elephant. Option one, you can try to push and preach and persuade the elephant to get up and take on that uphill battle. Or option two, you can create a steep downhill slope. Remove some friction from the trail. Scatter around lots of peanuts and signs telling the elephant you're getting close, even though he hasn't started. And then give him a nudge. And they go on to write that if you place yourself in the right environment, then moving from your current slumber to a preferred future is far easier because environment is as important as effort. Which is why teachers tell us that doing well in math often has more to do with your study group than your brains. Has more to do with the place where you study, the quiet library versus the rec hall with TVs on, than your ability to understand the material. And I know this to be true because for me, it's how I got through statistics and genetics in college. I put myself around a table of the right lab partners. Environment. Gretchen Rubin has a great chapter in her book that I mention a lot, Better Than Before. The chapter is called Change My Surroundings, Not Myself. And in the chapter, she tells the story of when three armed men broke into the home of the renowned socialite Anne Bass and demanded that she open her safe, where they discovered a few $100, some jewelry, and chocolate. To which she explained to the puzzled robbers that she kept the chocolate in her safe because she was trying to change the environment in her kitchen to make eating decisions easier. And Gretchen Rubin goes on to observe that you can strengthen good habits by making them more convenient. Want to make sleep easier and more convenient? Make sure the room you sleep in is as dark as possible. You turn your cell phone off earlier. You put on a little white noise. The temperature in the room is right. Better environment, and you'll sleep faster, better, and sounder. And this principle applies to food, friends, finances, and all kinds of growth areas. The opposite is also true, like the chocolate in the safe. Think again about that wisdom from Psalm chapter 1 and the seed that gets planted by streams of water. Think about the seed. Because we all know that what is around the seed determines whether what is within the seed comes out of the seed. That's right. A really good seed can become nothing, not because it is nothing, but because what's around it is bad. So, what is around you? What music and media, what habits of eating and exercise, what spiritual practices and places are you surrounding yourself with? Where are you sitting, Eutychus? Watch where you sit. Number two, second, Eutychus, set some alarms. You know, at church, we have smoke alarms and burglar alarms and water alarms so that if smoke comes in, alarm! And if water pools on the floor, alarm. And in the same way, we need alarms in our life, reminders in our lives. Brittany and I have a reminder set up on our TV. So if we're watching a news program or ESPN, Then at 7:30 p.m., Monday through Friday, a literal alert pops onto our screen. Reminder, Jeopardy starts now. And here are some other alarms that you can set up in your life. Put on your Google Calendar, 7 p.m., appointment alert, exercise. So at 7 p.m., an alert pops onto your phone. Or put on your Google Calendar, 8 p.m., read a chapter. 9 p.m., send a check. Here's another kind of alarm. Sign up for something like men's or women's group at TNC, and then if you don't show up, you'll get a text or a call. We missed you. What's up? You okay? And here's another sound that should be an alarm for us to keep us from slumber. It's the sound of an echo. 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 I'm talking about an echo chamber. I read recently large chunks of a book by Elie Pariser. His best-selling book is called The Filter Bubble, What the Internet is Hiding from You. Pariser is an author and an entrepreneur and an expert in technology and search engine algorithms. And he writes about how, instead of giving you the most broadly popular result, search engines try to predict what you are most likely to click on. That's right, internet algorithms are self-directed propaganda machines, quote, indoctrinating us with our own ideas, amplifying our desire for the things we already find familiar. An echo chamber, where whatever I already think or say or believe just echoes back at me. The sound of an echo might need to begin to feel like the sound of an alarm. Alert! Wake up! Get around people who push against you a little bit, because if everyone you get advice from looks, dresses, speaks, and thinks like you, you are probably getting bad or certainly incomplete advice. And I'm not saying we should take advice from just anyone, but I am saying that the people we do trust should be able to challenge our thinking. So let's listen beyond our echo chambers. Let's listen to folks who might love us enough to disagree with us. Eutychus, set some alarms! Then number three, prepare for your time of slumber. Because listen again to Acts chapter 20 and verse 8. Quote, there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. In other words, Paul begins talking before sunset, but people in the room expected the day to fade into the night. So before they got into the room, they prepared for the coming darkness. And here's the wisdom. TNC, darkness will come into your life because no human being goes through life without days, weeks, seasons, and eras of slumber-inducing darkness. And all the environment-shaping and alarm-setting in the world won't keep you from a few dark nights of the soul. This is why Psalm 23 doesn't say, if I walk through the dark valley. No, the psalmist writes, even though I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I can fear no evil. How? Be prepared for the time of slumber. So how can you prepare? Well, here are three F's of preparation. F as in foxtrot. Three F's of preparation for the inevitable slumber. Number one, friends. Find them. Nurture them now. Build into them in the light. Because you will need to rely on them in the dark when you have those tough moments. This is a point that journalist Sebastian Younger makes powerfully in his book called War. No subtitle, just called War. It's based on the experience he had actually while he embedded himself with a platoon of American soldiers stationed in one of the most dangerous parts of Afghanistan. He wanted to learn what enabled these soldiers to fight with optimism and success in such awful conditions. And what he discovered was that what gave them the courage needed to engage in battle was the strong brotherhood of soldiers that they had formed. It was that they were more concerned about what happened to their buddies than about what happened to themselves. And he writes about how sitting with these soldiers and feeling their love for one another was overwhelming and powerful. And he goes on to talk about the power of great friendships in TNC. My life has been far better and happier because of a handful of friends who have shown up for me in tough times. And I hope I've been there for them too. So prepare for the inevitable time of slumber. Prepare by building into the right friends now. Number two, second way to prepare for the slumber, get a hold of your finances. First friends, now finances. And here I'll just say, go read Genesis chapter 41 and Joseph's dream of 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine and take his wisdom to heart. Because your money and your heart are linked, as Jesus taught, and you want a strong heart when your time of slumber comes. So pay attention to your finances now. First friends, then finances. And here's number three, the third way to prepare for the slumber, faith. And here I mean demonstrate small acts of faith now. Think of going to a gym. You start out with less weight and then it builds your muscle so that you can lift heavier weight. It's the same with your faith. If you are faithful in a few things and in small things, you will be able to handle much bigger things. This is what Jesus says. So, two examples. Practice being generous with every small paycheck, not only the tax refund windfall. Get in the habit also of forgiving small offenses, or you're not going to be able to forgive somebody a huge offense. Every time you read the scriptures, just put into practice what Jesus says, find it to be true in the small daily moments of life, and then you will train yourself for the big times of battle and slumber and darkness that will come. So, Eutychus, prepare for the inevitability of slumber. Pay attention to your friends, your finances, and your faith right now. Eutychus, watch where you sit. Set some alarms. Prepare for the slumber. And TNC, watch where you sit. Set some alarms. Prepare for the slumber. For verse 11, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let's pray. And TNC, my prayer for you today is that the Lord would bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.